Who did you come to praise tonight? Where is he? Hey, you learned it, didn't you? I am so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm especially happy to see you really rejoicing in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And see what the enemy is after. He's trying to steal our joy. But you didn't let him do that tonight. I saw that. Amen. How many came for a miracle? If you can believe, you're going to receive, because God called it a miracle service. I didn't. So he has to show up and do the miracle that you need. Amen? Come on. Now that seat's anointed. Watch you don't get thrown out of that seat. Praise the Lord. I am really thrilled at what God has been doing. We've seen lives changed. A couple people said they got a healing. We've seen the captives being set free. And we've just seen the joy of the Lord just get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. When I walked into church tonight, I couldn't even hardly stand up every place I went. It's so anointed, I was just stumbling all over the place. As I haven't been drinking. I'm just drinking of the living water tonight. Amen. Well, at least we know who we're serving, right? Nobody brought the devil in their coattail, did they? Because he's not welcome. He has to leave. And when he leaves, you sit still. Don't you go with him. Amen. Because he'll try to drag you out too. Amen. I just want you to know how good God is. He's really good. You just don't understand what he's doing in this area right now. He started a fire that's just going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. I thank each one of you who have been coming every night. You've been stirring up the fires of God inside of you, kicking the devil in the teeth and telling him he has no more place, no more authority, that you belong to God and he just go where he came from. Amen. If he doesn't know where, you can tell him. You have full permission to tell him where he can go. Amen. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you for these people tonight, and they're ready. They're on fire. They're expecting their miracle that they need. So, Father, let your holy angels start activating the miracles right now. Let them move among these chairs. Let them touch the people. And, Father, we just love you so much. We just don't know what to do with ourselves right now. We love you, Father God, because you first loved us. We love you because you've always kept your hand of mercy upon us. We love you, Father God, because even when we were unlovable and even when we turned our back on you, you never stopped loving us and you never turned your back on us. For that, we love you, Father. Now I'm asking you, God, to be here the rest of the night. Finish what you started. I'm just hearing God say, some of you have motivational gifts inside of you. And he's activated them already, and you're going to find them working with inside of you. Amen. That's an odd thing to say, but that's what he said. So I'm letting you know. You have motivational gifts. Some of you need motivated, though. And I hope he sets a fire underneath you. Amen. Today I said, well, God, what are you going to give these people tonight? And it kept getting later and later. I said, God, now I need to hear something. He said, well, just tell them about the love triangle. I thought, well, that's odd. But once I got to studying, I found out what the love triangle is all about. So I want you to listen really close tonight, because this is really going to feed your spirit, man. And it's going to be something that you'll survive on from now until eternity. In the classic love triangle, there are three people. One is stuck between two love interests. The two love interests, knowingly or unknowingly, are competing with each other and vying for the time, attention, energy, and love of the third person. Let's read that again, Nancy. In the classic love triangle, there are three people. One is stuck between two love interests. The two love interests, knowingly or unknowingly, are competing with each other and vying for the time, attention, energy, and love of the third person. In Matthew 10:32-39, Jesus holds before us a couple of love triangles. So let's read Matthew 10:32-39. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me, and this is what I'm trying to really get at, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So Matthew 19:37 tells us, I'm sorry, there should be 10:37. I typed that wrong. Matthew 10:37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In the first triangle, there is Jesus, us, and our mother and father. In the second triangle, there is Jesus, us, and our children. Are you listening to what God's teaching you tonight? These are by no means the only love triangles of our lives. Love triangles can involve anyone or anything. And every love triangle confronts us with two questions. What is your most important relationship, and whom do you love the best? After hearing Jesus' words, it's not hard to figure out the right answer. The right answer is Jesus, but what is our lived answer? We say we love Jesus first, but do we really? I watch you. You love your kids more than you love church services. You love your kids more than your commitment to the church. You love your husband or your wife more than your commitment to the church. So after hearing Jesus' words, it's not hard to figure out the right answer. The right answer is Jesus, but what is our lived answer? You can speak many things with your lips that never come from your heart. But as we watch your fruit growing, we can see that what you're saying is not really what you mean. You need to start being fruit inspectors. You need to start really watching what people do instead of listening to what they say. I would like to think that our lived answer is Jesus. I know that Jesus is my most important relationship, that he is the one I love most. Love triangles are places of struggle and conflict. Now, see, I said, I would like to think that our lived answer is Jesus. Then I said about myself, I know that Jesus is my most important relationship, that he is the one I love the most. I've had to give up a lot of friends, a lot of people for Jesus. And I'm not going to deny my Jesus. He comes first in my life. If you watch my walk with God, you'll know he does. The things of God are more important to me than the things of this life, of this world, I should say. I've got to quit screaming because it just messes my throat up. Regardless of what I would like to think or say, what does the evidence of my life show? Come on. What about the ring on my hand and the vows I made to Larry? Do I choose Jesus over Larry? You might say, well, how can you do that? The ministry and Jesus, however, are not necessarily the same thing. I'm going to explain that a little bit. The ministry and Jesus, however, are not necessarily the same thing. I have to love Jesus more than I do the ministry. See, if Jesus would tell me to give up the ministry, for me to show him that I really loved him first, I'd give up the ministry. Do you understand that? If Jesus has anointed you to do something, then he takes it away from you. The only way you show him that you really love him is not being so upset because he took that anointing away from you. And whenever you kick against or pricks about it, when God does it, then that shows God that you love that anointing more than you loved him, and you like the show you got from that anointing. This is thought-provoking. You really need to think about what you're doing, because a lot of you are sitting in here self-deceived. You're saying you love the God, you can love God in the church more than you do anything else, and that's not true. But you're going to find out it has to become true. You have to love God more than anything. Lost my place. If. Is that where I'm at? If, however. If, however, Jesus asked us to love him more than our own parents and children, our own flesh and blood, then he also does so with everything else about our lives. There can be only one primary relationship in our lives, and Jesus says it is to be him. His demand for primacy is not limited to our mother and father or our son and daughter. It's a primacy over everyone and everything in our life. Get this in your spirit. Because if you don't love God first and foremost, and you're willing to give up everything else, then you're not going to make it. Your ministry's not going to make it. You're not even going to make it to heaven. Because when we first read, you're denying Christ before men. God could have easily continued the list. Whoever loves friend more than me is not worthy of me. This is what he could have continued to say. Whoever loves work more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves power, reputation, or wealth more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves country and flag more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves politics, agendas, or ideology more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves church, denomination, beliefs, and practices more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves self more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves anyone or anything more than me is not worthy of me. And I was reading this. God brought to my mind the time that Jesse Duplantis was at a church, and they invited him out to a steak dinner. And they had just set his big, delicious steak in front of him. And God said, Jesse, I want you to go back to your apartment right now. He said, but Lord, I want you to go back to your apartment, your hotel room right now. He said, sat there and looked at that big, juicy steak, and he really wanted to eat it, but he went back to the apartment, his hotel, and that's when God took him to heaven and gave him all that revelation. Jesse Duplantis loved Jesus more than that steak. Are you hearing this? Come on. Let me have just one more cigarette. No, you love that cigarette more than you love Jesus. Let me look at one more corrupt TV show. No, you love that corrupt TV show more than you love Jesus. You see what God's getting at? He didn't have me teach this to you tonight for nothing. There's a need in the body of Christ, and the need is to give into the right love triangle. Amen? So tell me, what are the love triangles in your life? Think about it. What's the love triangles in your life? What is your most important relationship? Whom do you love the most? You know, when little Gabriel was taken away from me when he was little, I thought I was going to die. And God said, daughter, do you believe me or do you not? Do you love me first above him or do you not? I love that. I still love that little boy with all my heart. But I had to let go of him because I love Jesus more. And when I let go of him, then God brought him back to me. Are you understanding this? Sometimes God's going to ask you to let go of something. And we're talking about mother and father and brother and sister and sister. So it might be somebody in your family. And you're going to prove to God who you really love. And you're going to do it with a happy heart too, not with one still trying to hold on as you say you're letting go. So I says, so tell me, what are their love triangles in your life? What is your most important relationship and whom do you love the most? Today's gospel holds before us and confronts us with the many love triangles in which we all live and struggle. It demands that we make a choice. Does that mean we must reject our parents, our children, our spouses, and all other love interests? No. See, you're not well-rounded, so that's why you would say yes. No, that's not what Jesus is saying or asking. Jesus is not demanding exclusivity, but he is demanding priority. Jesus refuses to be just another one of our many love interests. Jesus' refusal to be just another love interest, his demand for priority is for our own good as well as the good of our love interests. Let's read that again. Jesus' refusal to be just another love interest, his demand for priority is for our own good as well as the good of our love interest. God's not asking you to do something that's not going to be good for you. He's asking you to give up everything for him and love him first and foremost, because it's the best thing that's going to happen to your life. Like I said, I've had to give up many things, and I've cried, but God said, daughter, are you going to do this? Do you really love me as much as you say you do? So if you really want to be a true vessel of God, then you'll let him put you through the furnace of affliction as often as he wants to. You'll let him take from you everything he wants to take from you, and you won't moan and groan and complain about it. You might cry for the night, but you know joy is in the morning. Right? Come on. We can only ever have one primary relationship. Number one, that one relationship gives us identity in our lives, meaning, and direction. Number two, it becomes the lens through which we see the world, each other, and ourselves. Number three, it is the foundation on which we build our lives. Number four, it guides the choices we make, the words we say, and the ways in which we act and relate. Number five, it sets a path for our lives and determines how we love. Determines how we love others, including ourselves. So how do we reconcile the right answer, Jesus, with the lived answer of our lives? We have to love Jesus first and foremost. How do we pick Jesus over our child, our spouse, our mother and dad? How do we look into the face and say, I love Jesus more? I had to do that with Gabriel many, many times for about a month. Every day he said, how much do you love me? And I said, I love you more than anybody in the world. Do you love me more than Jesus? No, I don't, baby. Then you don't really love me, because you have to love me first. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. I have to love Jesus first, honey, but I love you more than anything else. And he had a hard time learning that, but I finally got down to his little spirit that Jesus came first in my life. Then he said, well, you're just like everybody else. You don't really love me. I said, that's not true. I love you, but Jesus has to come first in my life. So now he knows that Jesus has to come first in his life. And I have to put the things of Jesus first before him. But I'll always love him and always make sure he's loved and taken care of. What do you do with your kids? You know, he threw a fit. He threw a fit, just like all kids do. Their temper tantrums make you believe that they're dying when they're not. You know, and I don't care what your eyes see. Sometimes your eyes don't even see what you really want them to see, and it's not the truth. You're listening here. I had to tell Gabriel that when I love Jesus first, then I can love him best. And this is great wisdom. Everybody in this room needs to understand that. It breaks the triangle. No one is left out, excluded, or rejected. You love Jesus first, then you can love everybody else in your life. God, not ourselves, becomes the source and origin of our love. See, when you don't put God first and it's yourself you put first, then your flesh will dominate you. The flesh will give in to all of its stupid desires, all of its stupid sins. But if you love God first, you will not ever want to do anything to bring shame to your Father. I've preached that many, many times. You know, I would never want to do anything to bring shame to my earthly father. And I sure don't want to bring any shame to my heavenly father. I never do anything. I told God, I'd rather die than bring shame upon you. Don't you wish everybody in the body of Christ felt that way? You wouldn't have all the mess in the body of Christ that you have. You wouldn't have all the fornication, all the adultery, all the immorality. You wouldn't have none of that, because you know when you're making eyes at somebody else, what you're doing is you're putting a stain on your Father in heaven. When you're doing stupid things to the body of Christ, you're hurting God. You know, that's why the church can't win souls for Christ, because the church is too, I'm not going to say me, because the church is too busy being just like the world. They don't put God first. You know, really, truly, the world is different than the church, because the world puts Satan first. Watch what the world does. They put Satan first. They'll do everything abominable that there is. How I wish that the church would put God first and use all the glory and power and worship him like the worshipers of the devil worship him. I really do wish that. Because then we would be a weapon that God could use. We could be a weapon that God could use to tear down the kingdom of darkness. We would be that love vessel that God could really work through, and he could really win the lost for Christ. So, you know, you have your priorities all wrong. You know, I just told you God wants priorities. You have your priorities all wrong. Somebody told me a couple years ago, it's all about, you know, me. You know, talk about yourself. It's all about me. You don't say it's all about me. But what about your children? What about this man you're in? No, it's all about me. See, this is the way the world thinks. It's all, and see, the church does too, sad to say. It's all about me. No, it's all about God. Whenever God placed you in this earth, he placed you here as a child of God to carry out an assignment for him. And he wants you to die out to your flesh and live for him only. You are here on assignment from God, not from the devil. And you're not here to satisfy yourself. You're here to do the things God's calling you forth to do. And the reason why you can't is because you haven't put God first in your love walk. How long did God teach us how we had to love the unlovable? He taught that, and I said, God, not again. He said, they don't have it perfected yet. And the love walk in the body of Christ is still not perfected. There's still so many glitches in it, and there shouldn't be any glitch. It should be total love for the Father. Father God, here I am this day. I'm open for you. I'm working for you only. And if you want me, I don't care what I'm doing, God, if you want me, I'm here. We had a problem here at the church today. I couldn't find anybody on the staff, so I called Brother Chris from his job, and I don't know how he got off his work. He said, I'll go there right now, and I'll take care of it. The place was flooding. We was doing deliverance. Place was flooding. Couldn't find anybody. Had to call Brother Chris off on his job site, so he came. See, he loves God first. He didn't care if he lost his job or not. God's house had a need, and he went to meet that need. This is what I'm telling. He loves the Father that much. See, how do you program your life? Most of you program your life in what you want to do that day. You shut off your phone. You shut off your computer. You shut everything off. You're out of reach. Nobody can reach you. So you're saying, this is my day, Lord. You never have a day. If you really love the Lord, you never have a day. I knew a pastor. He's a wonderful, beautiful pastor. But every Monday, he wouldn't talk to nobody. He had an assistant pastor who did that. He stayed home and cleaned house with his wife. And then they went and do their shopping together. So Monday was their day. But he had an assistant pastor who did that. I don't even have a day. And I really don't want a day, because my job is to work for the Father. But then he was in a different 30 years ago. He wasn't in this dispensation now. But what God is calling you people to tonight is to get your love walk correct. I don't know where I'm at. This is the love by which, let's just go back to right below Gabriel, Nancy. No one is left out, excluding or rejected. Right there. God, and not ourselves, becomes the source and origin of our love. This is the love by which we take up our cross and follow Jesus. The same love with which Jesus loves us. You want God to love you. You want Jesus to love you. But you don't want to give him all your love. He gave his all for you. He took that beating. He hung on that cross. You know, he suffered for you. I get so upset when people say, well, God doesn't love me. Oh, shut up. He sent his son, Jesus, to die a terrible death for you. You go ahead and let that devil keep telling you that if you want to, but don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. He does love you. You wouldn't be still alive today, because the devil tries to kill you every day. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He's trying to keep you alive till you finally get it right. And can go to heaven. A lot of us in here today, you know, I've died 3 times, but I wasn't going to go to hell then. But, you know, you never know when you're going to die. You don't. And God said, your what's that day when he comes to get us? Your rapture is the day you die. Everybody's waiting for the rapture. Well, if you die tomorrow, that's your rapture. That's what God told me. So don't wait for the rapture. Because you just never know when things are going to give out in your life, and you won't be no more. So you have to be working every day, working your life out so that you will make heaven your home, because you don't know what second you won't be here. And what if I one day I got mad, and I said, oh, dear Lord, and I told the people around me in my home, I said, if I were to drop dead right now, I'd go to hell. They said, no, you wouldn't. was talking to my son-in-law. I said, yeah, I would, because I get angry right now. And if I had a heart attack and die, which is what the devil would like to do, I'd go straight to hell because I'm not supposed to act like this. Come on. Don't use that righteous anger thing on me either. There is a time for that, but there's also a time when our old flesh just rears up and has its day, all right? See, we do that too. We try to justify everything we do. Quit justifying yourself and live by the word, and then you'll do what's right, right? Come on. All right, so then I said, this is the love by which we take up our cross and follow Jesus, the same love with which Jesus loves us. We want to love our spouses best. We want to love our children best. We want to love our parents best. We want to love each other best. We all want to love as best as we can. We do that only when we choose Jesus first. We love each other best when we love God most. And I'm going to go back whenever I said I have this ring on my finger, I'm married to Larry, when I put Larry before God. No, I wouldn't, and he knows that, and he doesn't care. But also said one day, my children come before you too. Because when we have children, we die. And we're supposed to be raising these kids up in the way of the Lord. And I'm not going to choose a man over my children. He didn't ask me to do that, but we just had this conversation. I said, no, if you're right with God, if people are right with God, then they won't even ask you to choose your children over them. And if they're asking you to do that, then they're not of God. They're not, well, they might be of God, but they're not in right standing with God. They're not doing the right thing. Yeah, if God told me to leave Larry, I'd leave him because I love God. I would be obedient to God. Are you listening here? Come on. Now, don't you also, you're upset with your husband saying, well, God told me to leave your husband. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. I was giving you an example of who we should love first. And now, don't go on the other end of the totem pole either. See, God said his children are not well-balanced. They either go one end of the stick or the other of the stick. They never find the happy medium in the middle. Now, don't go on the other end of the stick and say to your wife, well, I have to go up in my room and seclude myself in my room because I'm supposed to put God first. I have to love him first or I can't love you. Now, I didn't say that either. Come on. But I did say you should throw away your pornography books. You should not watch dirty, filthy films on TV. And I did say you shouldn't be lusting after another man or woman's spouse. And I did say all that. I did say if you love God first, you won't do all that junk. Now, I hope each one of you are in here searching your hearts, trying to figure out who comes first. Catherine or God? God. They're back there smiling at me, so I thought I'd say that. Who comes first, my work or God? Well, don't quit your job and say, I had to put God first. Don't do that. Don't say, I can't work or I don't love God. No, that's not true. Now, see, you're just making excuses. Be lazy. Get well-rounded and understand what God is saying to us tonight. We are not putting him first place in our life. We are not doing what we should do with God. Like everything, well, okay, we're in revival. I get up, I get the baby's dress, and then I go in my study. Of course, I have to get up and down, but I stay most of the time in the study because if I don't stay before the Lord in his presence, if I don't show him he's first place in my life, I don't know if he's going to show up or not that night. So I have to dedicate myself to God. And what does my husband do? He does what he can to lighten my load. You know, he knows that God comes first. He knows I have to study. He knows I have to get in God's presence, hear God's voice. And so he gives me that opportunity. Now, if you're a good spouse, you would give your spouse the same opportunity. And I want each one of you in here tonight, you need to get your priorities straight in your love walk. And I saw the ad again for Bob Jones's book where God said he's going to ask each one of you when you go to heaven, did you learn how to love? If you didn't learn how to love, you're not going to go to heaven. And if you can't learn how to put God first in your life, then you might as well just get out of the boat because you're not going to make heaven your home. I mean, you might say, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because it's the truth. Come on. I didn't say you weren't going to have conflicts. I didn't say you weren't going to have struggles. I didn't say that. But even in your struggles, you can still, God can still be first place in your life. And I don't know about you, but when we was going through that 12 years of hell, the church was, there was many times I had to go before God and repent. I said, God, I really do love you. In fact, one day I just was laying in bed and I started crying and said, God, I really do love you. He said, I know that. I know how much you love me and I know you put me first. He said, daughter, I understand your flesh and I understand what you're going through. Just praise me, he said. So see, if you really do love the Lord, if you really are putting him first place in your life and struggles come your way, God understands all that. And God always comes on the scene, doesn't he? And he always makes things right. They might not be right in the natural, but in the spirit, he makes things right down inside. And you just know that you know that you know that everything's going to turn out just right. There's some of you in here tonight, you're saying, I don't even know how to love. That's who God wants to touch tonight. He wants you to come to the altar because he's going to give you a special touch. And after tonight, you're going to know how to love. And you know, a lot of people don't know how to love themselves. I used to hate myself for years. I wouldn't even look in the mirror just long enough to brush my teeth and comb my hair and leave. Because I hated myself because I was told I was ugly and unlovable and all that. But when Jesus came into my heart, I knew I was lovable. And I knew I was loved. Now I can look in the mirror and say, oh my God. Amen. Come on. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you a little story. One time when I was going through that real bad stage, I was really going through a bad stage of feeling like nobody loved me and I was unlovable and nobody could ever love me. I went into Walgreens or one of those places and I bought false eyelashes. And the lady at the counter, she looked at me, she says, honey, you don't need these. You have beautiful eyes and you are beautiful. Please put them back. And I just stood there and cried. I didn't buy the false eyelashes. I never put false eyelashes on. Because she touched my heart that day. And she let me know I was special in God's eyes. And see, maybe one of you, if you're working out in the workplace, maybe somebody will come in and maybe God wants you to tell them something like that. You just never know. So be instant in season, out of season. And just allow God to just really use you any way he wants to. It doesn't matter what you've done. God's telling me to tell you each in here, there's not a bastard child in here tonight. In other words, there's not a child in here that God has turned away. He loves you. He's ever before you. He's holding you in his arms. And you don't have to back away from anybody. Because you are truly God's child. Truly God's child. Come on, let him just fill your heart tonight. Let him overflow your heart with his love. Come on. You know, somebody in here, you have low self-esteem. God says, get up and come to me. And I'll heal that. And I'll set you free. God called us a miracle service. So, you know, do you want a miracle or not? Do you want God to really come and touch you in a special way tonight?